Hello, everyone, and welcome to Awaken to Happiness Now. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm so excited. I know. But we have a new guest on the show with us today. Elizabeth Losey is here with us today, and I'm so excited. We're going to be talking about reclaiming your mythic self. Your soul essence will not be denied. And there's going to be so much we're going to be doing on the call. We're going to be talking to Elizabeth about what it means to be a mythic being. We all have one inside of us, but most of us keep it locked tightly away, hidden even from ourselves. How to tap into your own magic, the food for your inner epic soul expression. What resonant frequency has to do with living larger than life, and how your Akashic records can help you to fast track reclaiming your powerful mythic self. I'm really excited about that. And you know, it's, you know, we hear this all the time about we are the ones we've been waiting for, but it really truly is that time now when it's time to really step up and shine. It really is time for us to embrace the love and let go of the fear, embrace who we truly are and what we came here to do and be, and in a way that is fun for us, in a way that resonates with us, in a way that is aligned with our truth, whatever that truth happens to be for you, and that expression of whatever that is for you. So you know, things are shifting and changing. I'm just going to say that for now. Things are shifting and changing, and 2016 is coming to an end. But 2017, the energies of 2017 are already coming in. So I know for myself, it's going to be an amazing year. It's going to be something, I don't know what yet, but it's coming, right? So what can you do or be to really be the full expression of you coming up in 2017? And sometimes that does mean going within, integrating all these energies and changes that have been happening this year. I know for myself, that's a big one for me. It's like I'm catching up to my physical body needs to catch up with my energetic body and so on and so forth. And so there's still some healing work to be done, absolutely. But we can get some of this information from the Akashic Records, right? We can tune into the resonant frequency that will help us to live larger than life and really express, you know, who we are and what we came here to do. So I'm so excited to be talking to Elizabeth about that and much more. And so for those of you who don't know who Elizabeth is, I'll just tell you a little bit. She is a wayshower, an oracle, and a crystal priestess. She helps women and select men from around the world to expand and walk their intuitive edge right into their mythic greatness. She's a prominent entrepreneur recently. You know, this has been said of her as an oracle, and I love that name, oracle. I don't know what it is about it. I know I would have been one, but as an oracle, she shines when guiding people through their darkest fears into love. And indeed, the very first answer she received from her own Akashic Records in 2008 was, "You are a truth teller with capital T's, and when you sing your truth song, imprisoned angels are set free." And that's like, oh my God, goodness, I've got goosebumps as I'm reading this and sharing this with you. So after a distinguished 13-year academic career as an award-winning professor of French and women's studies, well-known scholar and leader, Elizabeth made a sharp right turn. On January 1st, 2010, no doubt spurred on by the blue moon lunar eclipse of the night before, she quit her guaranteed salary for life job. I know what that's like. With one click of the send button, she went from being a socially sanctioned wise woman as an academic and scholar to picking up the staff as a spiritual teacher, channel, healer, and has never looked back. Wow. Good for you, Elizabeth. So if you're at a crossroads and looking for divine answers, doing Oracle Akashic Record work with Elizabeth may be the perfect solution. So, you know, we're going to get a taste of that with Elizabeth today. And be warned, getting access to your soul truth and healing fears and self-sabotage can become addictive. It'll also set you on the path to really being aligned with who you are. And in addition to her private oracle consultations, Elizabeth offers public oracle transmissions where callers can receive answers from the divine flame to their own questions about a topic that needs elucidation. She also mentors global citizens to be mythic and handpicks a few among her clients to train as oracles. And her regular offerings also include classes on using crystals as well as on trusting one's intuition. And Elizabeth also organizes potent in-person retreats, both in the States and abroad. Her next trip abroad is for women looking to reclaim their power by connecting deeply with Mary Magdalene in the south of France in, I think, May of 2017. So maybe she can talk a little bit about that because some of you may be interested in that. So I'm so excited to talk to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, welcome.
Thank you so much, Shefali. It is such a pleasure to be here on this amazing summit. Deep bow to you for keeping it together, and not just together, but like expanding and growing and getting hotter and more awesome for 11 years. Wow. So, yes, thank you so much for including me in your lineup this year. I'm very grateful. And
thank you. And I'm so excited because, you know, some of the work that you do is like, it's so relevant right now and it's so important. And I know that you've been going through your own challenges in the past couple of weeks, you know, so I'm so glad that you were able to be on the show with us today, too, because it's like, oh, my goodness, I hope she's okay. Number one was, oh, my goodness, I hope she's okay. Number one, number two was, oh, I hope she can still participate.
Me too.
Because I really wanted to be in your energy and share in your wisdom with my community, because even when we had spoken before, it's like, oh, she is just so lovely. I just love talking to her. It's like, this is going to be so much fun. So where would you like to start? I know we're going to be opening up the records a little bit later, but where would you like to start with today? Because I know that there's so many things that we want to do and cover. But, you know, I wanted to first start off, if possible, you know, talking about reclaiming your mythic self, because as you know, this season's theme for the show is called Reclaiming Your Spirit, right? And so what does that mean to you, and how we can do that on a regular basis? So what does reclaiming your mythic beingness mean to you, and how we can do that on a regular basis?
Yeah, and we're also, that's a question that we will ask in the records too. So I'll give my own human level and what I've been working with over the last several weeks to a month-ish about really stepping into the mythic self. And then we'll get the divine answers in maybe an hour-ish. And so that'll be great. And I'll also say that I thought I already had stepped into my mythic self as moving from the being a professor, chair of my department, etc. I had a really top shelf career that I left at age 41 or 42. I mean, so that was done. And then I started again as an oracle, and stepping into being an oracle felt really big. I'm like, oh yes, this is the purpose. And, you know, when I got that first answer from the records about who am I on a soul level, and they said, you're a truth teller. Mm-hmm. And when you sing your truth song, imprisoned angels are set free. Mm. That was so beautiful. And I had no idea what they were talking about.
Right.
None. Like, I don't know. So where do I tell this truth? And how do I set imprisoned angels free? Well, so I started working more in my records. And at the same time, my academic career started getting more and more uncomfortable and out of alignment. And so just on the day that my husband suggested that I could quit, which is the unthinkable thought for any tenured person, especially for a tenured person who grew up in a family of tenured people. You know, my parents were both French professors too. And so it was just nothing in my worldview would suggest that there was an exit. So when the exit showed up, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing it right now. And so stepping into channeling Akashic Records and being an oracle, being that truth teller to a wider and wider audience all the time, felt really archetypal and mythic. Mm-hmm. And then as I was completing my first round of priestess training in Hawaii, I actually flew home from Hawaii on Election Day. As I was in Hawaii, I got the sense very clearly that I needed to really start talking about mythic beings, right, and showing up in our mythic selves. First and foremost, me, right? Mm-hmm. I needed to show up and to call forward the other mythic beings. Well, then the election happened, and it became super clear to me that, okay, that wasn't some cosmic mistake, right, because that doesn't happen. So there had to be a good reason, and that good reason was, what? Okay, Donald Trump is patriarchy's poster boy. He will bring it down faster. And we also, in the meantime, all the light workers, what I call now the love warriors, need to stand up and really show up in their mythic selves. So for me, and all the people I work with, probably everybody who's listening, either now or to the replays, is identifying somewhere on that indigo rainbow crystal spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
We all came to planet Earth. We're all star seeds, right? We all came to planet Earth at this time, right at the end of the 20th century and moving into the 21st century, as mythic beings. And we all had to sort of shut down our mythicness, right, to
mm-hmm.
operate pretty well in our families, especially those of us who are older and grew up in the 70s,
yeah.
right,
yeah.
when that just wasn't allowed, right? And so you were bound and gagged. Our mythic selves were bound and gagged and mummified. Well, now it's time to pull out those gold sarcophagi and mm-hmm. revivify our mythic beings, because it's time.
Mm-hmm.
It really is time to stand up and say, okay, I've been quiet and played by your rules for a while, but that ain't going to happen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the time where things change, and it's just, it really is. It's been okay and even perfect to be sitting on the sidelines up until now. And it's no longer okay.
No longer.
It's really yeah. time. It really is time. And so I was in a car accident 2 weeks to the day after I got back from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the universe saying, hello, you said you were going to do this. Are you going to stand up yourself? So I'm like, okay, very good. Thank you for that wake-up call. And, the circumstances surrounding the car accident were really interesting. My dog was, he volunteered to be in the accident with me. And so we're both pretty okay, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And
good.
But my mind
the
was a jumble for a while.
Yeah.
But and that probably was part of it, too, to really let go of that mind like a trap former professor self
mm-hmm.
to,
yep.
to become more mythic. I mean, you know, no one could accuse me of not being intuitive and living in my intuition, but I needed somehow to have this sort of thumbtack on the timeline of my life. Like, okay, this is the time before I'm mythic, and kaboom, now this is a time that I really live and embody my mythic self.
So what does mythic mean exactly? Or as
so
best as you can describe it?
Yeah, I think it's your legendary self. Also,
mm-hmm.
and of course it's perfect that right now we're in the sun in Sagittarius, right? And Chiron is really up. And this last new moon in Sagittarius of just a week ago yesterday, Chiron was in the mix, and he's also a centaur. So you've got the Sagittarius centaur and the Chiron centaur. These are mythic beings, right? The centaur
mm-hmm.
is a half horse, half man.
Mm-hmm.
And other mythic beings that people probably know are, the mermaid is half woman, half fish.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sphinx is a woman's head on a lion's body with an eagle's wings. I mean, these mythic beings are these interesting fusions of the 3D and the magical. And so when I am saying, let's reclaim our mythic selves, what I'm saying is, and again, I am the first to be doing this, right? I can't walk people through it without walking through it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So what I need to do is embody my magical self, which I have in the past often envisioned as sort of away from my physical flesh and bone self.
Yeah.
And now I have to call that in. I have to really feel my wings emerging from my shoulders, right? I have to really, like, feel my legs becoming dragon's legs, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot of different mythic parts, depending on what's needed in the moment, right?
Right, yeah.
And so for me, being mythic is not just embracing the magical and the five dimension,
mm-hmm.
dimensional self, but merging it bringing that spiritual DNA and wrapping it around the other strand of human DNA and really becoming and standing as in the world, standing as that mythic self. And that also means that you have to let go of the I'm not good enough or I'm not fabulous enough or I don't know enough to do this.
Yeah.
What's become really clear to me, and I am really excited about the channeling that we're going to do later in the call to get even more clear about like what it means, like why now and what it really means from the divine plane to be mythic, right, to live as that mythic being.
Wow.
So,
yes.
I'm excited.
I'm excited. Me too. And so we believe it or not, we have a lot of people with their hands raised and a lot of questions on the Q&A, which if I know my audience well, most of them are going to want, you know, a message of some sort. So that is probably more like from the records, right? Is what I'm
possibly.
Saying. Possibly. So We'll take a few in a few minutes just to see maybe there's somebody who wants a question before we go into the record, because you're intuitive anyways, right?
Yeah.
So we can still answer, or you can still answer some of their questions without being in the records. And so when you go into the records, are you going into their individual records or just the records of this call?
Later on, I'll be opening the records of the topic of reclaiming your mythic self.
Perfect, yeah.
And so I won't be in anyone's individual records.
Mm-hmm.
According to the rules of Akashic Records, you know, like you can have one record open at a time. And this isn't really to get into anyone's personal records. If you want to do that, I invite you to connect with me. We'll have a conversation and see if we're a good match.
Exactly.
But I have often found, and this might be more for people I know better, but I've often found that even on a topic call like this, I can get information. The information is fed to me about the specific individual. So there's that. I can't promise that I will, but it could be, and oftentimes I suspect that the information that is good for one person that feels really personal to him or her is also good for a whole bunch of other people.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's why they offer it,
Okay, perfect. So, we'll take some questions in just a few moments, but I wanted to ask you about, you know, because it's so interesting how, you know, you say that we keep that part of ourselves, that mythic being, hidden from society at large and even from ourselves, and now is the time to really let it out, right? And be all of who we are. So it's about expressing who we are, expressing what it is that we desire, and what we came to express in the first place. Like, you know, each soul, each person who incarnated at this time, at any time for that matter, chose to be here, you know, for a specific purpose, for a specific reason, to experience something, right? So how can we tap into our magic, the beingness that we are, so that we can fully express ourselves even more?
Well, I think that the first part is to really just tap into the magic of the world around you. When you open up to that, and when you know, whether you're out in nature or in an urban setting, just really opening your eyes and your heart in gratitude and wonder to all the synchronicities that surround you. And just, you know, thank the multiverse or the God, goddess, whoever it is that you feel you're working with, the cosmic plane, for every beautiful thing that comes your way. Appreciate beauty, appreciate pleasure, slow down, be present. Notice the animals that show up in your life. It could be, you know, the squirrel that runs past you on the sidewalk, or it could be like a white tiger on the side of a bus, says advertising some zoo thing. And when you notice these animals showing up, especially if it shows up in a more synchronistic manner, like a couple times in the same day or over a couple days, or if it shows up in your dream, that's something, there's a message from that animal. So just consult your intuition or ask your guides to give you the message, or ask the spirit of that white tiger to give you the message of, like, what kind of medicine is that animal bringing to you that day? There are also websites that will tell you about that totem.
Oh, sure.
I think those are great confirmations. I think it's best to kind of investigate it yourself in your own heart first.
Yeah, I agree. but yeah, there's so much information out there. But yes, ask your own knowing, because you do know.
Right, right. Yeah. And your own knowing will know better. I mean, the more, because of course, the people who created those websites talking about animal totems, they consulted their own knowing first.
Yes.
Right? So no one's knowing is better than anyone else's inner knowing. And so it's I suggest that you go to your own first, and then if you think that's fun, then go out and, you know, check one or two other sites and see what they say, and it might offer a refinement or an extra piece. You're like, oh yeah, I see how that fits.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're really just appreciating the wind in your hair and the sun on your back and beautiful or even not so beautiful smells, and just like relishing being in a human body is really easy for us humans to forget that even if we have aches and pains, the being in a body is so rare. Mm-hmm. And I'll out myself. I spent many, many years, because of course, like all the indigo rainbow spectrum people, our lives were hard, especially at the beginning.
Yeah.
We were misunderstood. We were punished for our gifts, right? And so, you know, it was easy to kind of leave my body and not really be fully grounded. And in the last several years, I would say 3 to 5 years, I've really rediscovered the joy of being in a human body and just, you know, sensorial pleasure, smells and tastes and textures and all of that, and sounds, beautiful sounds, not beautiful sounds, just the texture of the sounds too. And really, even if you have aches and pains, just knowing that you have the bountiful gift of three-dimensionality, where you can walk around and touch these things and experience orgasms and sadness, right? All these things. It's pretty amazing. There aren't that many planets out there where you get this kind of a gig. So I'm really enjoying the embodying, right, that embodiment of the human.
Mm-hmm.
And this step of being mystic is about merging the two.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Really showing up in our human physical bodies as our spiritual selves.
Yeah.
Our wings, with our sacred tools. Really awesome, rocking it in our epic, legendary expression.
And not making our embodiment, our humanness, wrong, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Or less than, you know?
Right. Because when we're epic, when we're legendary or mythic, it's because, you know, we're not necessarily so concerned with, oh, is that my ego showing up too big? Am I bragging right there? Because, of course, you know, mythic beings, there are movies made about mythic beings. They're not going to be apologizing. Oh, I'm so sorry. There was a movie made about me. It's pretty great, but, you know, I'm not really good enough.
Yeah, true.
No. So in our mysticness, we don't apologize for our humanness, and we don't hide our magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just all okay, all good, and all needed right now.
And it's who and what we are, and it just is.
Yeah.
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 Beautiful. Thank you. I love that.
Oh,
thank you.
I'm
so much.
Excited.
Yeah. Okay, so let me just, wow. So I just want to ask one more quick question, and then we're going to go to questions, because it's like There's so many. So I wanted to ask what you mean by what resonant frequency has to do with living larger than life.
Resonant frequency is a really interesting concept. And, of course, I work with crystals a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, people like to participate in my crystal pulling parties on Facebook. Crystals are amazing because, first of all, we are crystals because we're made up of water. If you ask any kindergartner if water can be a crystal, they'll go, oh, yeah, frost and ice and snow, all that is a crystal, and it's true. So we are walking around as liquid crystals because, you know, 60%+ of our body makeup is water. Mm-hmm. And so we are crystalline beings. So we're already pretty epic, even without the whole, like, owning your wings and your sacred tools and your magic. But so crystals really teach us about the resonant frequency. So if anyone has ever held a stone, for example, rose quartz, the primary energy that rose quartz emits, and it really is just like emitting like a radio station, is love. And it can be any kind of love, self-love, romantic love, caritas, familial kind of love, family love. And it just, when you hold a juicy piece of rose quartz, you just feel that kind of, okay. Mm-hmm. And so that's a resonant frequency. Like the frequency of love is transmitted from the rose quartz to the human holding the rose quartz. And then as the human, if the human is transmitting on that love frequency out in the world at work or in the home or the grocery store or wherever, then other people are drawn to start emitting love too. And so when you really start owning this fearlessness and being grounded in your own mythic magic, you really can't help live larger than life because that's the frequency that you're in. Mm-hmm. When you get into that mythic frequency, unless something happens, like you get a piece of bad news or something that knocks you off your center, then you're going to be resonating on that mythic frequency.
Right.
And that's what's so amazing.
Hmm. Beautiful. Yeah, thank you. And, you know, and that's that we can all be and resonate at that frequency and live that larger life. And it's not even larger than life. It's just being us, right? Being us and being okay with exactly how we are. And I know I keep saying this, but it's like, I had a call earlier and it's like, yeah, some of the stuff that came up for me was still about me, you know, not being good enough, right? So it's like, oh, still mm-hmm. there. You know, it's still there.
It's a
still
persistent story.
Yeah. Well, still really not living, is. You know, doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. It's like, but you know, okay.
Yeah,
you know,
I have accountability partners who let me know if I'm showing up as the not good enough.
Yeah.
I just tell them, listen, I need a slap upside the head if for some reason I'm going back there because I'm done with that story. It's over.
It's just a story, right?
It is. Yeah, it is. It's just a story.
Yeah.
And the story is there planted in us and, you know, mm-hmm. curated by our inner mm-hmm. children, right, who think it's their job to keep us safe. And it's not, actually. It's the job of our higher selves to keep us safe and to bring the absolute perfect opportunities to us in the right moment. But the inner child is all like, oh, no, I need to protect. Like, don't take a risk. Don't be seen. Visibility is bad, you know.
Yeah.
And that's all fine. But the hook is not to be caught in that story. Or if you go back to it as an mm-hmm. old story, to just, mm-hmm. you know, shake yourself out of it. You can slap your forehead and laugh. Laughter is great for shaking up energy. Laugh
right.
and, like, maybe shrug your shoulders to get that kind of wet blanket of fear or old story off you. Mm-hmm. And just go on.
I love that. I'm doing that right now. But yeah, I'm shrugging that off.
Yep. Yeah, I like to slap my forehead and say, don't go into judgment, but just say, silly
exactly.
me. Like, oh,
yeah.
I just did it again.
Exactly. It's not about the judgment. It's about the awareness and seeing it and, you know, seeing that it's there, then you can actually do something about it, you know, because when you're in judgment, you're resisting, right?
Yeah, judgment is taking you in the opposite direction from where you want to go. If you notice that you did something you didn't want to be doing, and you're like, oh, my God, well, that takes you deeper into the fear hole.
Yeah,
you want to be
exactly.
on the other end of the spectrum, right? You want to be in that epicness. You
yeah.
want to be in intuition, in love, in connection, in abundance.
Yeah, and it's all possible. Okay, so what do you say we take some questions and see what people have on their minds today?
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right, let's go. All right, we're going to go to phone number, hold on, ending in 7566, 7566. I'm going to unmute you. Hello?
Hello, ladies. How are you this afternoon?
Good. How are you?
I'm amazingly wonderful.
Good. Yay. And who is this?
Jane.
Hi, Jane. You have a question for Elizabeth?
I'm not very familiar with Akashic Records, and
okay.
I'm just curious as to how easy is it for a beginner?
Well, I'll be doing the heavy lifting today, Jane. Thanks for asking. So let me just say real briefly, I was going to include this in my preamble, but we might as well just take care of it now. Thanks for the question. The Akashic Records are like an ethereal archive of all of the wisdom in the universe. It contains records for each person, most animals. If the animals are connected to a person, if they're higher order animals, they definitely have their own records. Lower order animals like ants and beetles, most insects have collective records. They don't have individual records, especially if their lifespan isn't too long. But every place, every idea has a record, every date in what we call history has a record. So really anything can be accessed if you know how to access them. And so today we're going to be accessing the record of reclaiming your mythic self. And and it's also, I mean, to me, when I go to the records, some channels channel the records differently. So some people, they visualize themselves walking into a library and sitting down at a table and talking to a light being. I call these people the record keepers. Some people call them the masters. Other people call them the guardians. And they really do keep this information sacred and secret, right? What's in your record is not available to be shared with others unless you give that channel permission to open them up with you and for you. So, for example, the Nazis in World War II put considerable resources, time and money, towards trying to crack the Akashic Records of the Allies, and they never did.
Seriously?
Yep.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so these cosmic librarians, the keepers, are also guardians. They are really holding this information secret because it's probably not good for other people to know things about you that you don't even know yourself, like your strong points or your weak points, etc.
Sure, that makes sense. So would you mm-hmm. say that the information within the Akashic Records is basically things from your past and your current?
It includes
but not necessarily
your past,
about the future? Okay.
Present, there are drafts for the future. And this is where it gets kind of tricky. I mean, you know, this is why science fiction and fantasy films or stories are interesting when it comes to the space-time continuum. Since we are located within it, it's really hard to, like, think outside of it. But there are drafts for the future, and some of them look pretty probable. Others, not so much. The way I channel is based on questions, so I'll be taking questions later. And then I'm just like a simultaneous interpreter at the UN. So like someone asks me a question, and then the keepers show me, usually show me rather than like move my mouth. They'll show me what the answer is, and I'll just kind of read it like I might describe a painting to someone who couldn't see it. And so, yeah, the information is really potent. There was something I was going to say, and I kind of lost the tail of it. Can you repeat your question? Did I answer it sufficiently, what you just asked?
Yes.
Jane?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Yeah. I would love to know the Akashic records have information it has.
Oh,
me.
I'm sorry. Yes, I was
going to
talk
lost.
About free will. Excuse
okay.
me. I was going to talk about free will and that some things don't necessarily in your life don't necessarily look like it was your free will, and yet you already chose earlier, like before you even incarnated in this lifetime. So it's all about free will. I can unpack that if you want me to, but
I don't quite understand that.
The free will part?
Well, yes, I don't quite understand how it's considered free will if it was if you've already
Can I explain with an example from my life?
Sure.
So I was a professor, and I was a really good professor. I was good at what I did. And before I became chair of my department, I was on the job market, and I had all sorts of interesting job possibilities. And every time it came to making the final decision about me being hired at these liberal arts colleges, places I really wanted to be, the answer would come back, Elizabeth, I don't know what happened, but we hired someone else. Like they told me every time, like, you're our top choice. And then every time, over and over again for about 4 years, it came back, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened. We went with someone else. I can't even explain why. Until the last year when I could be hired away, I was interviewed at my father's alma mater. It was a men's college, pretty fancy private place. And it was the first time in the 150-some or 60-some year history of that college that the daughter of an alumnus was being hired to teach in the program he graduated from. So the PR machine was gearing up, and they were really excited. It was going to generate, you know, lots and lots of endowment funds. And I got to the campus interview, and everyone told me secretly, like, oh, you're the only legal candidate. So we've basically already hired you. It's just a formality. And because you are such our dream candidate, you went above and beyond every single criterion we had. You exceeded it. Plus the fact that your dad is an alumnus, that was just icing on the cake. So basically, you're in. Tomorrow is just like, you know, formality. And so they had put me up in the guest house, which was the founding president's home. It was this lovely old Victorian. And in the morning, I went downstairs. I was in my jammies. I went downstairs to get a glass of water. And on the third step, I slipped. And I fell down the stairs. I hit where the stairwell turned so hard I broke all my toenails. And then I went boom, 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 all the way to the bottom of the stairs. And I kind of nearly dislocated my shoulder trying to hang on to the handrail. And when I got to the bottom of the stairs, I could not feel my body. And I'm like, okay, well, Freud says accidents never happen. So what the bleep is this? And I thought, well, okay. I did have a cell phone, but it was up in my room. And I thought, well, someone's going to come to the door in about an hour. And they'll see that I'm in a crumpled mess on the floor right here in front of the door. So they can take me to the hospital. But I managed to get up and kind of took some anti-inflammatories, and I powered through the day. I didn't tell the faculty, but I did tell the secretary, because if I had some kind of aneurysm, somebody needed to know that I had a major fall that day. And it was a beautiful day. You know, everyone was excited. I loved them all. They loved me. It was beautiful. And then a week later, I got a call from the chair, And he said, Elizabeth, I don't know what happened. And I'm like, no, no, you said I was the only legal candidate. And he said, yes, 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 I know. And, you know, I want to reassure you that we all loved you. There was nothing wrong with your candidacy. But I called this pro forma meeting. I was passing the signature sheet around so that everyone on the search committee could sign off. And the bickering broke out, and my department doesn't fight. And then they started yelling at each other, and then they stood up to yell at each other. And when they picked up their chairs to throw them at each other, I said we could hire the other person. Please don't sue us. And I thought, wow, you're risking a multi-million dollar lawsuit for illegally hiring someone because you loved me? That's really crazy. And for several years, that was in 2003, spring of 2003. I didn't quit my job until spring of 2010. For 7 years, I sat with the idea that I wasn't good enough and that somehow the universe had it out for me. And then when I quit my job to become an oracle, I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, being in academia was fine, but I had to be in a place that I needed to leave. I would need to get so disenchanted with the system that I would just, you know, shut that door. But in any one of these fancy places, I would have loved to stay a professor until the end of my days and would never have really opened up this mythic gift of mine. So I realized then, once I quit my job, years later, I finally realized that what I thought was a punishment was actually just holding on to my dream. And this decision I'd made before coming here, which was to, yes, be a professor for a while, but not stay that my whole life. I had bigger gifts to unpack. I had to have a global mission rather than a local one. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense, Jane?
It does. I guess I just can't seem to grasp why it always seems to take so long. If these are things that we are meant to do, why is there not a little more speed?
Yeah.
Why does it seem like it just seems like some people are born ready to go and on the ball and it's all go from day one. And
they probably are.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so,
I think it's just about what we're ready for. You know, I wasn't really ready to talk about being mythic until last month.
Okay, so what about people that do believe that they are ready and have been ready?
And well, I would say their higher self doesn't agree. Right? There's still some thing that's kind of hooking them somewhere.
Yeah. And there's still more healing that needs to be done or clearing needs to be done.
So mm-hmm. Why does it seem like it takes forever for that information to come to the surface?
Well, it depends.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
My experience with Akashic Records is that the people who aren't ready to get into their records, to hear their soul
mm-hmm.
truth, don't
mm-hmm.
hear about it. I used to do like health fairs and stuff, and I would have bowls of crystals and invite people to pull crystals. And I've had people walk in front of my table. They're literally, I could reach out and touch them, and I would ask them if they wanted to pull a crystal from my bowl. And they would turn and look straight through me, confused, like, I thought someone was trying to get my attention. They wouldn't see me. They wouldn't hear me. And then the confused look, and they would walk on. And it was like these cosmic earplugs. So I knew I wouldn't try to go after them. I would just say, okay, like that person's not ready. That's fine.
And I do get that. I do understand that there are people that aren't ready for whatever reason. But what about the people that do feel as though they are ready? Like myself, I am ready for something. I don't know exactly what, but I'm ready, 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 ready. So what is the holdup?
So that could be a question that, you know, you can work with Elizabeth one-on-one and go deeper into it, because sometimes it's not what you think. It's not what you're going to expect. And
would going into the Akashic Records help me to see what it is? Help me to understand?
Ask that question.
Yeah, you would ask questions and get more specific sometimes even, you know, and keep asking questions and seeing what comes up. For sure. They're not just going to say, well, do this, because it's your choice whether you want to do something or not. No one's going to tell you what to do. I so wish they would. But
right. Well, and I get that. I understand that. But sometimes you don't know the questions to ask. Like mm-hmm. like with the Akashic Records, it's fairly new to me. I'm not very familiar, so I wouldn't have the foggiest idea of.
Yeah, well, that's where Elizabeth could help you to get started to ask the questions. You know, so because she's an expert in it, so she would know what to do to bring you in and start to begin to ask the questions for sure. Does that make sense?
I would start, Jane, with what's my yeah. greatest gift that the world can't afford to miss out on.
And what if you have no idea what that answer is and don't seem to get a reply?
Well, if you're working with someone who's channeling your records for you, then you would get a reply.
That's the question you would ask. Yeah, that's a great question. That's a great question. I love it.
It is a great question because yeah. my experience with the answer is the answer comes and the client is like, well, that's not a gift, or people said that to me my whole life, but that's not a gift. I'm like, you can't mm-hmm. see it's a gift because it's too easy for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One of my
okay.
friends and colleagues yeah. was like, oh, her greatest gift was being able to see this amazing 360 vision. She would see problems coming up. She had been, previous to becoming an entrepreneur, she had been like the head nurse in an ICU. And whenever she was on duty, no one died. Because she
wow.
she would know if someone's lines were tangled and she could get there before. And when the keepers insisted that, yes, that's her gift, and she was like, really, that's a gift? No one else has that? No. Oh, I just thought they were stupid. Like not taking
that,
care of these things before they exploded. I'm like, yeah,
that,
if you could bottle it, people would pay you $10 million. No one else
okay.
has that.
Yeah.
Well, I've
so
often
that
wondered
that.
I've often wondered if there are things that, for lack of a better term, we normal people do on a daily basis that are possibly
mm-hmm.
gifts that we just are not recognizing, but
yeah.
shouldn't it be easier for us to recognize? Like, shouldn't it? I don't know how
yeah,
to
explain well,
not
the question.
Necessarily. It's part of the human experience to forget our divinity
mm-hmm.
and then relearn it.
And why is that?
You know, this could be a whole one-hour conversation on that.
Yeah.
Okay. You can move on. I'm sorry.
To have the experience of fear.
No, great question,
Jane, definitely.
To have
the experience of fear.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
And to move from fear into love. Because
yeah.
on the divine plane, everything is love. That's the building block of all the universe is love. And so
sure.
the Earth, planet Earth, is a special place where it's a rarefied atmosphere where fear exists precisely because we get stripped away all these memories of how everything is for the best and there is nothing to be afraid of, right? Fear is an illusion. So we are on this planet and we're like, oh my gosh, scarcity, fear, bad news, ah! But we can't experience that anywhere else. So that's why we have to forget. That's the short answer.
And of course,
and I invite you to join my list because I talk about this all the time.
Yeah,
so
and,
you
know,
if you want to join my list, that'd be great.
And perhaps, you know, get a session with Elizabeth to go into your records and see what's there for you that may be helpful.
Do you
sure.
teach
Thank
others
you.
To be able to access their own records?
I do. It's a select few.
Okay.
And we ask in their records if I'm the right one to teach them.
Hmm.
Oh, okay.
Beautiful. Perfect.
Great.
Thank you,
well,
Jane.
Thank you so much. Thank
yeah.
you.
Thank you. Great, great questions. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you.
I know I sound
wow.
like I'm sometimes being difficult.
No, no, they're really good questions. And those are the types of questions that we all have. And that's why we have these types of sales summits to answer some of those questions as best we can in a 1 hour show. Wonderful. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, ladies.
Okay. So, yeah, wow. It's like great, great questions. I'm just, it's so good to hear. So I have a question from Michelle in New York on the Q&A, and she's asking about, she says, how to tap into my own magic. For some reason, I still have cords in my field that I have difficulty to extract, and I can't feel my wholeness.
Yeah. So I would say work with an energy worker. You know, extracting cords and removing mm-hmm. shields in front of your heart and emotional transmutation, all of that is part of this new Being Mythic program that I'm developing. It's mostly about being in your Akashic records and stripping away all the self-sabotage pieces. But, yeah, I mean, it is true that energy cords make us tired and doubt ourselves. And one of the things I do for people is to cut the cords, but also you can, you know, if you're careful, you can take a knife and just dance with the knife around your body and just cut them away, and it will feel really, you'll feel much lighter and more mm-hmm. free if you do that. So I would say, you know, I can offer recommendations for energy workers. You know, if you feel like you're not called to work privately with me, but I think that it's really important and part of our remembering our own magic to do our energetic due diligence, to watch ourselves mm-hmm. And how we're showing up. And if we're showing up as victim rather than co-creator with the universe, then, okay, don't go into judgment. Smack your forehead, silly me, right? Laugh, shake off that wet blanket of fear, and say, all right, so where is it that I got tapped, right? It could be a pain source. It could be a piece of bad news. So somewhere you're falling into that story of not enough, or I can't, or I'm confused, or whatever. But, you know, once you've taken care of the cords, I would say tapping into your own magic has to do with what I was talking about earlier, the wonderment, just glorying in nature. Again, just as I said, planet Earth is the one place you can experience fear, it's also a three-dimensional experience. Like, you can touch stuff, and you have to wait for things. You can, you know, manifest them, but it's not instantaneous, right? I mean, even with the internet, it's not instantaneous yet. And so having a body that can sense things, and feel things, can feel love, can feel fear, can feel apprehension, can feel anticipation, gratitude, all the feelings, and including shame and grief and anger and fear. Having bodies is really quite magical. So if you are embodied and you want to just make sure you're in your body, you can stretch your back, take a deep breath. I like to clench my glutes around my tailbone, and maybe mm-hmm. wiggle my hips a little bit, stretch my back, like push my shoulder blades together so that I can really feel like I'm in my spine and my back body. And then connect with my guides. Actually, I'm going to do a little meditation with you right now. So everyone, I want to, Michelle and Shefali and everybody else who's listening, I want you to close your eyes and in your mind's eye, see a starry sky at night, like the stars in the desert with no light pollution and no clouds, right? So, you know, as Carl Sagan would say, billions and billions of stars, right? And take a deep breath. And I've got some allergies or something, so I might snuffle when I take my deep breath in. So please don't get grossed out. So take a deep breath in. And on your in-breath, imagine, just visualize yourself pulling in 15 million stars into your lungs on that in-breath. So take a deep breath out. Blow out first, blow all the air out first, and then breathe in 15 million stars. And on the out-breath, really watch those stars being deposited into your bloodstream and then carried to all the cells in your body. Now take another deep breath in, 15 million more stars. And on the out-breath, they're really carried around your body. So see them landing in your arms and your feet and your head and your chest and your back and all up and down your legs and your feet. Breathe in 15 million more stars. And on the out-breath, let's do it two more times. Another 15 million stars. And You are totally illuminated. Totally illuminated. All humans are star beings. This is true. In each cell of hemoglobin, we have iron. And that iron originated at the Big Bang. So in every one of our blood cells, we have Big Bang extraterrestrial material. That's who we are. And when you breathe in all the stars and you feel all that light being deposited in your cells, it's such a powerful reminder. So from this place, let's breathe in one more time. 15 million stars and really see them. Any spot in your body that's not full of light, send those there. You can take another deep breath and keep breathing if you need to. Breathing in all these stars and watching them be deposited. Especially if you have a pain somewhere in your body, really concentrate those stars in there. And that'll really help to break up the pain and the tension. And from this place where you feel like the truth of who you are, star stuff, you can ask questions of your intuition, right? So I'm going to lead you all into imagining your mythic self. Don't try, but just ask to be shown, keep your eyes shut, ask to be shown who you look like in your mythic expression. So breathe in more stars if you need to. And on the out-breath, blow it out and then see what lands. I'd love to have people either raise their hands. I know it would be confusing because other people have their hands raised already, but maybe type in to the chat box what they see in their mythic selves. Do you have a sacred weapon, a special outfit, headgear of some kind, a helmet, a crown, anything else? Do you have wings, a cape? I can't wait to hear what you see. And I'm really inviting you to trust what you see. Trust that when you have been breathing in the stars and really are inviting all that cosmic truth and love into your physical human system, that you can see beyond the walls of your wherever it is that you're sitting right now or standing. Shefali, is anybody chiming in on what their mythic self looks like?
Hold on. Let me check the queue. Oops, but I can tell you what I saw.
Oh, yay. I didn't want to put you on the spot, but I'm happy to hear.
Oh, I'm happy to be on the spot anytime. So, you know, yeah, please do write it in the Q&A so that we can share with everybody what your mythic being self is. So what I saw for myself was a really tall being with flowing white and gold robes, with a crown and a scepter and wings, like huge wings, you know, it's like, but I'm like huge. I'm not like 5 feet nothing, which I am right now. I'm like huge. And it's like this light that's radiating out of me is like this sparkly whitish gold effervescent type of energy, you know, it's like, it was like, wow, it's like it was almost blinding, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Beautiful. So your huge wings, were they white wings or were they colored wings? What did they look like?
Oh, they're I'm going to say they were like clear, translucent-like wings, you know? So not too colorful, but I don't know. Yeah, not angel wings, you know, not the angel wings that we see on Doreen Virtue's cards, but more like fairy wings, I guess, but big. So.
Gossamer, ethereal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ah, exactly. I love that.
I mean, I don't even know if that's, beautiful. You know, It's like, I don't even know if that's real.
Yes. That's why I said don't distrust this. This is like when you do that breathing in the stars exercise, anytime I need to make an intuitive decision, I know that my brain likes to muscle its way in and decide for me. I'm like, no. This is a cosmic choice I'm making. So we get out of the way. We're bringing in the stars.
That was beautiful. The bringing the stars. And I just have a comment from Michelle about bringing the stars. And she says, the stars breathing was magical. I instantly became someone else. She said, thank you so much. I had a crown, golden crown, and millions of stars came inside my being. Amazing experience. And then Lou.
That's my bonus gift, right? On the main page.
Yeah.
You can download that. Everyone can download that and keep it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And Lou says that, I'm not sure, I'm going to say Lou. Anyway, Lou saw, I saw a horse with wings and part human also. So like Pegasus, ooh. No, not Pegasus, but part human, centaur with wings, kind of, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Beautiful. That's powerful. That's a powerful being, mythic being. So thank you.
Right. So I want Lusa, or however
Lou?
You pronounce your name, Lou.
Lou?
I want Lou to. I want you to really feel into what those elements mean to you. Like it's the merging of your human and the power and grace of the horse and the freedom and beauty and grace of the wings. But really go to each element and see like what they're bringing to you and how you can use that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Really showing up in your mythic self as a human. That's where it is. So you're no longer an outsider.
Mm. Right? Beautiful. And then I have a message from Lynn, and she says, at times I seem to see different things. Today it's a very tall and big Native American chief, warrior tall, stoic, clear, focused.
Mm. Yes. And so I also get different stuff. I have different wings all the time. Sometimes I have dragon wings or bat wings. Sometimes I have different kind of bird wings. Sometimes I have the same kind of wings, Shefali, that you have, these ethereal, huge, kind of see-through, gossamer kind of wings, or butterfly wings. Like so, yes, my mythic self shows up a little differently every time, and I don't know why. I just say like, wow, thank you. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's because we are all those things, you know, it's like none of that is separate from us. Right. So
exactly.
It's just showing up as a different expression on that day to show something else to you that you perhaps need to see in that moment. Right. And connect with.
Perfect.
Okay, perfect.
Thank
so
you.
I know
that's
we're
a great
gonna,
way to express it.
I know we're going to do the Akashic Records in a minute, but Jackie says, I was a witch all in black. And Kelly says, I didn't have any wings. And you don't have to. Yeah. I love that.
Yep. You might not need to have wings, especially if one of your magic powers is just, I don't know, instantaneous transportation to some other place.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're like, in a blink of an eye, you're somewhere else.
Yeah. So don't judge, just accept and embrace it. You know.
And it will probably be different the next time you try. And maybe make this a weekly ritual, like breathing in those stars, and then saying, like, "Okay, mythic self, reveal yourself to me as you are today, as I am today." Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Beautiful. That was lovely. I love that. Thank you. And that was so quick and easy. But yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it was good.
So I just want to talk for a few minutes about the special offers that you have for us. So for those of you who are on the live page, you can just click on special offer. And for those of you on the phone, you can go to awakentohappinessnow.com/LOCE11. Because we have two Elizabeths this time. So I did LOCE11, LOCEY11. So Elizabeth, you want to just package A, B, and C? You want to talk to us about those?
Yeah, so let's see. I will get on that page myself. Package A, I believe, is the Own Your Throne.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so Own Your Throne, and I think some people on the call might have participated live in the Own Your Throne series. It is about money and sovereignty. This was one of the live Oracle transmission calls that I offered to the public earlier this year. And originally it was just going to be about a call on money and the new economic paradigm that's being born onto the planet. And so the first call, I didn't realize was the first call until after I had completed it. And then it was really obvious in my records. It's like, no, actually that's three calls and they all need to be done in the next 4 weeks. So I did like a call and then two Saturdays later I did another call and then two Saturdays later I did another call. It was really clearing out. So each of my live Oracle transmission calls is about, we start with an energy clearing. And so if you've got cords or if you have hang-ups or anything going on around the topic of the call, then the clearing part, even if you're not live and you know, speaking it into the recorder, there's always time for the people who don't want to participate. They are on the call, but they don't want to speak up. And everyone listening to the replay to go through that clearing. And you can go through it every time you want to, right? You can clear yourself by listening to the recording every day for a week if you want. Mm-hmm. And then we go into channeling, and people who are live on the calls ask the questions. And so the first call, I would just call it the Own Your Throne, because that was the what it evolved into. During the course of the call, it became really clear that it was about sovereignty, not so much about money and the new economic paradigm, but about sovereignty. And so then the next call came, and it was really about how sovereignty is working with or against the patriarchy. Mm-hmm. So the second one is called the Divorcing the Patriarchy. And this is for men and women, right? Men are also wounded by the patriarchy. Sometimes as a woman, I think they aren't that wounded, but in fact, yes, they are. So the second one is about divorcing the patriarchy, and the third call is about really owning your throne and owning the sacred masculine and the sacred feminine in each of us, mm-hmm. and that sacred marriage, bringing forward this divine sense of sovereignty and how to deal with money, right, in the new life that we have on this planet. And, of course, this was well before anyone ever thought that Donald Trump was possibly even going to be president, right? Uh-huh. And and it also includes a little conversation with me about being mythic. So yeah. If you've liked this and you want to get on an exploration call, we can do that. And the next one,
Package B.
I'm still looking through. Yeah, Package B was
the powerful oracle transmission from the records of intuition.
Oh, yes. This was the live call that I did at my final, it happened on Imbolc, actually, of this year of 2016. Mm-hmm. So Imbolc is the in the wheel of the year. It's the day that spring kind of comes back. In the U.S., we call it Groundhog's Day, and but it's like the rebirthing of the new in the world, right? And so this was a call. It's close to 2 hours long, and it's. Some really, I listened to it again as I was setting the packages up, and I was so impressed with what came through. I'm like, wow, I wish I had many extra hours in the day to listen to the things that I speak for the, you know, from the divine plane, because wow, I totally didn't remember that. And then that also includes the little conversation, the mythic being exploration. Mm-hmm. And the Package C is a special mini oracle message in which usually in the mini oracle messages, people don't ask questions. It's just whatever message the keepers want to bring forward to them. And in this one, it's themed, right, around your mythic being. So whatever message the keepers believe is most important for you to hear on the topic of your mythic being, that's it's a live one-on-one call with me. It'll be recorded, so you can keep the recording. And so that's fun. I'm excited about that. So those are the options.
Perfect. Thank you. And so those are available at awakentohappinessnow.com/LOC11. So it's package A, B, and C. So definitely take a look at those. And, you know, of course, the special offer will be available on the replay page and the replay email as well a little bit later today. okay, wonderful. So do we have time to open up the records?
I say yes. Why not?
Perfect.
So let me just say a few things real quick. Number one, and I did say this before, but I want to unpack it. We will be touching the Godhead, which means that even if you feel really yummy, and you will, because it's sort of like the energy of it doesn't feel like being high or stoned or, you know, buzzing from alcohol or some other slightly toxic chemical. It feels really good, like post-orgasmic feeling, like you're just sort of walking on air, and you kind of are. You're not fully down on the ground, which means that it's a really bad idea to listen while you're driving or to get in the car behind the wheel of a car before you get really grounded. And so I usually get grounded to the earth by hugging a tree or standing barefoot on the ground. Even in Atlanta, where I am, it's pretty cold now, so I probably am going to do the tree hugging, and eating something, like eating some protein and or something greasy, salty, and root vegetables. Like I'm normally not an eater of potato chips, but I always keep a little bag of potato chips. Actually, you know, my car was totaled 2 weeks ago, but I always did keep potato chips under the seat of my car just in case I realized that I was a little less grounded than I thought. So, yes, so be aware of that. Be also aware that during the channeling, you're probably going to be really thirsty. So drink a lot. It has to do with the electricity in your body, I believe. And drink more afterwards, too. And so I'll be opening the records with a short meditation or prayer. And Shefali, you can ask the first question, and then you can open the field up for other questions. And so you can type those in, I guess, or raise your hand. Okay, so I'm going to start by saying, I can already feel the records energy coming in. They're like super excited to talk to everybody today. I'll begin by saying, heart of life, love of spirit, provide a gateway now. Reclaiming your mythic selves and I, step into the power of love. Ooh, okay, the records are open, so you can go ahead with the first question.
Okay, beautiful, thank you. So let's start off by asking, what does it mean to reclaim your mythic self?
Ultimately, reclaiming your mythic self is about wholeness. These are about parts of you that as a human you've been taught to forswear. You've been taught to pretend they don't exist. You've been taught to be ashamed of them. You've been taught to hide them, or bury them, or ignore them because they didn't feel normal. And these parts are now being called to you for personal wholeness and humanity's wholeness. The face you see of humanity on your media, on your television screens and in your newspapers is, it's not the whole story. It's not even half the story. It's like one-tenth of the real story. And yet, the real story is not going to come through until all of the light warriors stand up and say, well,
it's not true that I'm not good enough. This is who I am, and this is what I do, and I'm proud of it, and it's pretty awesome that I'm able to be here healed in my own self and healing others. Reclaiming your mythic self is about embracing the parts of you, again, that you've forsworn and pushed away. And in the biblical version of Thomas denying Jesus, he had to deny him three times. You don't need to deny your mythic selves three times. In fact, you've denied it hundreds or thousands of times. And now is the time to stop, to resurrect your mythic self, to resurrect that being, the magical being that lives within you, and to walk in your own divinity, in your own light, in your own power. And as you do that, walking in your own light, in your own power, in your own mythic self in the world, as you do that, others will be inspired to wake up and gather back to themselves their mythic gifts and their mythic truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what will heal humanity and the planet. Because as humanity heals, it will not be interested in polluting the rivers and oceans. It will not be interested in clear-cutting the forest.
Yeah, beautiful.
This heals Gaia as well. You're welcome.
Yeah. Very cool.
Okay, so how about we take some questions? And
sure.
So we're going to go to phone number ending in 9154. 9154. Hello.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Sure, yes, hi, who's this?
My name is Paula.
Hi, Paula.
And thank you. First, I'd say thank you so much for gifting us with the deal to do the diamond stars again, because I was at work, so I didn't get to enjoy it as deeply as I wanted to, so thank you for that. But I'm just wondering, and since I'm the first one, I'm not even sure what kind of question, but I'm just wondering if you have anything that you can tell me from my records for me, or what you see for me.
Well, we're not doing any individual records.
Well, that's what I wondered, and I apologize, because I really wasn't sure. I guess my other question would be then, I keep seeing Pan whenever I meditate, the mythical creature Pan, and I wonder if you have any insights in that.
Well, you have already given your own insight. So sit with Pan. Sit with his music. This is a chimera. Pan is half man, half goat. So what does it mean to be a goat?
Hmm.
Goats are persistent. Goats don't take no for an answer. So how does the musician-poet merge with the persistent, I don't take no for an answer goat? And what does that mean for you?
Oh, thank you, because I'd never put it in that context, and it makes perfect sense for me.
It's beautiful that your mythic being is already showing up for you.
Yeah.
Oh,
great. If you could, thank you so much. And I apologize again for misinterpreting the question, but thank you. I've enjoyed
this
very much today with your time.
Oh, good. Thank you, Paula.
Yep, thanks.
All right, we're going to go to phone number ending in 7120, 7120. Oh, hold on. Yep, hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, hi, Cheryl.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good,
long
how are you?
Here.
Yeah.
Good, thank you. I'm just wondering what the Akashic record, I know you're not doing individual, but I have it. I used to see the fairies and my farm, when I lived on the farm back in Indiana, but my parents, all, and the brothers and sisters all said, they're not really, can't see them. And and finally they all faded away. Is there a way you can find out what the mystical animal that's been, you know, around me? Or is that possible?
Of course. What you'll want to do is do the breathing in the stars exercise and ask for that mystical animal to be revealed to you. And every time you ask, it might be a different one. It might be the same one.
Did you do it earlier on the call, Cheryl?
I was there was a loud noise going on. I'm out in the park.
I see. Okay.
You're hugging a tree.
Make sure to get grounded before you start that.
That's
car
what I said. I was
again.
Hugging a tree.
Okay, good. Okay.
And,
do it again after before you get in the car. Very good.
Okay.
So.
All right, but I'll probably hear that when
the
I get
fairies,
home.
The fairies, you might want to sit with fairy. At this moment, unicorn is coming forward.
Okay.
So that might be a mythical being for you to sit with right now.
I understand.
Today.
Because I got a lot of squirrels coming close to the table.
Unicorn, that energy is really coming forward lately, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, does that help?
It's about
Cheryl?
Peace and truth.
Oh, yeah, it does help at all. Yeah, because that's when I know when I'm at peace, that's when the animals come around more.
Yeah.
Coming close to. And they set up, it's just set around, not looking for you, it is looking at me. And so I figure they're seeing something that's around me. My aura, probably.
When you get present, Cheryl, when you are present in that way, in a way that humans are rarely present, alas, when you are present in that way, animals will be magnetized to you because it's shocking to them. And they're like, oh, this human is normal. This human knows how to be present on the planet. I want to go share this human's energy. I normally don't want to be anywhere near humans.
Yeah. That's cool. All right, thank you very much.
So tap into the unicorn energy, okay?
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. All right, wonderful. we're going to take one more live caller, and then we'll see if I can take one or two more from the Q&A. Phone number ending in 9961. 9961. Hello? No?
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can hear you now. Yeah, perfect.
Okay, great. I wondered what the records say about the role of the artists and writers at this time as mythic beings. What can you offer about that?
That's a beautiful question.
During this time.
Yeah, great question. And what's your name?
So, my name is Randy.
Randy.
So, Randy, the role of artists and writers, and artists and writers have always held the energy of the mythic, be they painters or sculptors or musicians or dancers or poets or novelists or playwrights. They've always held the energy of the mythic. It's like you've been the keepers or the guardians of that energy during the patriarchal period where there really wasn't much room for that. And so it's time to really take the safeties off and go where you're feeling called to go and lead others Pied Piper style. Allow yourself to be what gets called in human parlance over the top, larger than life.
Okay.
And that makes there was a sense. Second part of that question. What was that?
I guess that really answers I think my question mostly, but kind of how we can maintain our sense of power and value when we
call upon your mythic self.
No.
Call upon your mythic self. Do what Elizabeth led you through earlier with the breathing in the stars and just asking your mythic companion to show up and accompany you, asking your mythic expression to be visible to you.
Mm.
Ask them to help you write or to help you paint or whatever it is that your creative expression is.
Okay.
And if your mythic self has a special accoutrement, right, like a crown or a cape or whatever, if
mm-hmm.
you can wear that, you know, acquire or create a piece that reminds you of your mythic being, wear that as you are in creative mode.
Oh, I love that. Okay. Thank you.
Spend a few minutes really walking it out, getting into character.
Mm-hmm.
Calling in your fae companions, calling in all of your guides and totems and mythic companions and self,
mm-hmm.
and really
right.
create from that space because humanity needs it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I guess yeah,
you.
It's a struggle to kind of share those things with the world if the world doesn't seem to. And the message about Pan and kind of not taking no for an answer is also very relevant, I think, to this. So thank you so much. It's been really helpful.
You are welcome. You know, if you think the world isn't amenable to the message that you're putting out, that is just an outpicturing that comes from a story of not enoughness. Actually, the people who are lapping it up may or may not reach out to you. The people who are stuck in their smallness, this is what happens. People who are stuck in a fearful story and who don't want to be exposed to magic or myth or legendary power, they are going to be mocking and jeering, and they don't count.
Mm.
You can. That's. I mean, their opinion is none of your business.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
They can have whatever opinion they want, but don't let it splash onto you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good advice.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, thank you, Randy. Great question.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
That was important to hear.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. For all of us. Okay, just one or two quick questions from the Q&A. We have from... Oh, my goodness. Colleen, and I'm not sure if you can answer this question, but Colleen was asking about, can you please give me some insight to who I am on the soul level?
That would happen in a private session.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but doing the exercise with the stars, bringing in the stars and asking for your mythic being, that's also, you know, a part of who you are, right? So you could get, you know, ask that, do that, and ask those questions as well. And that'll help,
of course,
a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have I have a question from Lori, and she says, I have a very interesting unicorn intervention in my life. Don't know what that means. could you tell me why and how this is possible? Is this something from my past? Interesting.
Mythic beings and mythic companions, like the unicorn or a fairy or an elf or a mermaid or a dragon, lots and lots of dragons are coming onto the 3D plane. They're poking their pointy noses in from other dimensions
mm-hmm.
because it is now
mm-hmm.
time for humanity and dragon to work together again. They haven't been working together for several thousand years. So if unicorn is showing up for you, it might be an indication of a companion, a mythical companion that you were working with in a past life, and it's also a message to you today about your energy, that energy of grace, innocence, trust, and truth, purity.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the unicorn is a representation of the divine feminine. And this is also an invitation to you to reconnect consciously with the unicorn. You can do the breathing in the stars exercise and then journal, do some stream of consciousness writing and say, you know, my unicorn tells me that, and then just keep writing.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do it out loud. My unicorn tells me that, and keep talking. Right.
Right. Yep.
That's a beautiful thing. Good for you for having unicorn.
Yeah.
Showing
for
up
sure.
in your life.
All right. So then just a question from Jackie. She says she was the one that saw a witch all in black. She said, why would I have seen a witch all in black? That seems depressing.
The witch all in black, of course, you know, black is a power color. Red and black are the power colors. Black is very protective. So people who want to stay hidden or really own their power dress in black.
Mm.
The classic iconography of the witch that came from the 17th century includes the pointy hat with the buckle on it.
Yeah.
That in the 17th century was a special hat worn only by people who were wise. People who, you know, medical doctors or people who had doctorates from universities wore that hat of wisdom. It has now become identified with a hat of wickedness, which
right,
is not at all the origin, because of course the ones who were called witches were the healers and the midwives and the sages and the oracles and the ones who were connected with the earth and the wisdom of the planet. And the church, the Christian church, the Catholic church actually, became threatened by women's power.
Mm-hmm.
The same Catholic church that figured Mary Magdalene as a prostitute, even though there's nothing in the Bible that actually says she was a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
She was a priestess. So these same people called the healers witches, and, you know, to the victors go the truth, right? The story that gets passed down. If you kill enough of the witches to, you know, silence them and their sisters forever, they can't speak up and say, you know, that wasn't true at all. That's actually the reverse of what was happening. So Jackie, the recommendation here is that you go through that breathing in the stars, breathe in, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 times until you get really very light filled, and then call upon the that witch all in black and ask her to explain what she is. She could be a placeholder for something else. Or she will definitely have a message for you. So that's the suggestion on that.
Hmm. Beautiful. Thank you. Great question, Jackie. I'm glad you asked that.
There's probably a past life. Yeah, there's probably a past life there as a witch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad you asked, and I'm glad I brought it up, because I didn't want you to hold on to that energy as a negative or something depressing. So it's not. and so then I just have a question from Lynn, or a comment and question. She's loving this call. She says she's very grateful for all that the record keepers have shared with us today. And is there an additional message from the keepers regarding the mythic beings that they would like to share with us today?
That's a beautiful place to close. So thank you. Let's see. Final message from the keepers. You have no idea. You have no idea how powerful you are. You think you're somewhere in the size range of 5 to 6.5 feet tall? Guess what? You're all at least 20 feet tall. You have no idea. You
have no idea how far your wings can stretch. You have no idea what your sacred tools can do for you and the people around you, the people you serve, the people you protect. You have no idea. And you are being called to start working with your mythic expression so that you start to be aware of who you really are and what truth and light you can bring to this planet, which is in desperate need of such thing at the moment. So that's the final mm-hmm. message. So this is me speaking now.
That was
Thank
beautiful.
You.
I got goosebumps, you know. Jackie wrote back and said, "Oh my, thanks. A few things clicked for me there. I get it now. Thank you very much." Good. Yeah.
Oh, good. Glad to hear that. So I'm going to close the records now, and I want everyone just where you are to say out loud, "I call my spirit back."
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, this is your home we've just been to.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if it's your first time experiencing the energy of the records, you're not going to want to come back into your body. So let's just everyone say, "I call my spirit back."
I call my spirit back.
Yeah, and I'll just do it one more time. I call my spirit back. Okay,
I call my spirit back.
Yeah. All right, everyone has called their spirits back now. So I'll close the records now by saying... Oh, there's so much love and light pouring out at the very end, just to sprinkle you all with this beautiful rainbow kind of fairy dust love energy from the Akashic plane. Mm-hmm. Really just like, feel it come in and like shift you on a cellular level. Yes. Okay. And so I'll close the records now by saying love for life and all it holds. We step into the world with love and joy. Amen. The records are closed.
Thank you so much,
Shefali.
Thank you.
Amazing. And thank you all for asking your questions. I know we probably didn't get to everybody, but I trust that everyone got what they needed today.
Absolutely. Yeah. And thank you. Yeah. And, you know, thank you for sharing so much of your wisdom and yourself with us today. And all of the questions.
Such my pleasure.
You know, it was so much fun. Great, great questions. I'm just so proud of my community. But yes, they showed up and they asked wonderful questions.
You have every right to be.
I just like, yes, yay. Beautiful. So thank you all. I know we didn't get to everybody and I apologize for that, you know, time, right? But next time, right? There's always a next time. So thank you, everyone. I'm just so feeling so much gratitude for all of you and so much love for all of you. Thank you for being here with me. Thank you for sharing this journey with me, with all of us. And thank you so much, Elizabeth. That was beautiful. I just loved it. That was, yeah, wow. I love the idea of the
My pleasure.
You know, yeah, thank you.
My pleasure
as well. We'll have to do this again. All right, everyone, thank you. And until next time, tomorrow, continue to live your life filled with joy, peace, love, abundance, and happiness. See you again soon. Bye for now.
Thank you.